The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
It's the final rewatch. The final rewatch. Oh, it's the final rewatch before the new season. It's the final rewatch. I'm watching them all. The final rewatch.
Final rewatch.
Greetings, stranger friends, and welcome back to the final rewatch, where today I watch chapter 6, The Spy. But who is the spy and who is he spying for? Oh, this episode was wonderful. Wonderful. And it's funny because I'm like, wow, I'm really going through these seasons so quickly because I'm watching and talking about an episode almost every day. There was that duffer buffer in there. But it got me realizing when Stranger Things first came out, I binged that first season almost the entire thing in one day. Then I think I finished it like a day or two later. I don't usually do that. I'll maybe watch an episode here, an episode there. But I... certain shows I do it for, but I'm talking like, oh, I finished the season in a few days. I don't want to finish it in one day. With Stranger Things 4 coming up, it's like, I've waited so long for this to come back. Do I want to rush it? I don't know. Do I want to savor it? I want to stay spoiler free, so I'm probably not going to be clicking on any hashtags that have anything to do with Stranger Things. I might be muting them until I watch those episodes, until I finish them. But it's like, do I want to just watch them all in one day? I don't think I do. It's just like, it'd be too quick. I want to savor them. I want to really dive in and enjoy them. I don't know. Like, even the pace I'm going at now, one a day, feels quick. I don't think I'm going to go that slow. I don't know if I'll be doing, you know, it'll take me 4 days to watch it or 5 days, depending on how they split things up. But I don't know if I just want to watch them all at one sitting, because then I'm like, okay, now I have to wait a month? Which, I mean, after waiting all these years, waiting a month isn't that big of a deal. But fear not, we're still talking a week and a half, almost 2 weeks away. Somewhere in there, you know, give or take a few days. The math is fuzzy. Who can say how much time there really is before Stranger Things 4 comes back, and that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Stranger Things 2, Chapter 6, The Spy. Our episode opens with Will, being rushed, not to a hospital, but to the lab. We last saw him, he was in the field shrieking and freaking. He was like, when they were doing the burn on the weeds. And we start to see there's a big connection going on here. He's like, it hurts. Where does it hurt? Everywhere. It hurts everywhere. Meanwhile, Hopper is in another room getting decontaminated, getting hosed down, getting scrubbed down of any chemicals that may be in him. But it seems like he gets a clean bill of health later on. We cut over and we see Dustin and Steve are in the car together, and he's telling him about Dart, and I love the Queen song that's playing. Hammer to fall, here we stand, here we fall. I'm sure I'm getting the lyrics wrong, but it's a great song. I'm not going to put any Queen songs in this because I don't know if that's what pinged my copyright infringement last time. So I'm going to try to avoid that. So I'll just sing it. There are two hammer to fall. Da, 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 da. If you ever want to see a great performance of that song, look up Queen Hammer to Fall Live Aid. Queen owns Live Aid. It was amazing. And they had a whole scene of that in the movie, Bohemian Rhapsody. I'm going off on a tangent. So they're in the car and Steve's like, how do you know it's not a lizard? He's like, it's not a lizard. I know. How do you know? He's like, it opened because its face opened up and it ate my cat. So they get back to his house and he's got the bat and they open the bulkhead and Dustin's like, so you go down there and I'll stay here in case he tries to escape. But they open it and they don't hear anything. And Steve goes down. He's like, you better come down here. He finds skin and that's it, except a giant hole smashed into the Henderson basement and just like through the concrete and dug through the earth and making its own tunnel. Maybe these dogs are helping making the tunnels? I don't know. So the guys, they're at the buyer's house. You think, oh, maybe Jonathan, Nancy. Nope. The guys from the lab break in and they just start taking photos of every... Well, I don't say they break in. They went in. They probably told Joyce they're going in. And they took a bunch of Polaroid photos of all the drawings of everything so they could recreate the map. They took the tape out of the video camera. I hope they have an adapter or they need they better have the cables to watch that video because otherwise Bob's going to have to set that up for him. While that's going on, the doctors are talking to Joyce. All these doctors standing around a table and Joyce is frustrated because they can't tell. They're like, she's like, what do you know? What is wrong with him? You can't tell me anything. He needs to be seen by a hospital. Like, that's not going to happen. This is really the best place for him. Really? This scene reminded me so much of a scene in The Exorcist. Quite possibly one of the greatest, scariest movies of all time. There's a scene where, you know, this the girl in the movie, if you don't know, she gets possessed, okay? And the mother doesn't know what's going on. She's being seen by some doctors, and all the doctors are sitting around a table, much like that. And they're like, you know, telling her this, telling her that, and she's just completely frustrated with them. And this scene with Joyce reminded me of that. It had to be an homage. I actually looked it up, and there was an article saying like, "Oh, this is a very reminiscent scene from The Exorcist." So I'm not the only one who thought so. Maybe this isn't the first time I said this. Maybe I said that in the original episode too. Who knows? So we cut over to Murray's place, and Murray, Jonathan, and Nancy are making copies of the tape. making lots of copies of the tape and mailing out a bunch of them to newspapers all over the country. When they're done, they have a celebratory drink. Now, of course, Murray's drinking with minors, probably not the smartest thing, definitely not the most legal thing to be doing, but they're like, you know, we really shouldn't have any more. We need to get home. He's like, get it? What? It's late. Why don't you just stay the light, stay the night? They're like, oh, okay. He goes, you can use my guest room. Well, do you have a couch? It's like, wait, what? Is there like a lover's quarrel? Like, oh, we're just friends. And he just laughs at them when they say that. He calls them liars. He reads them. He talks about Steve having issues with his dad. He talks about Nancy having this, you know, probably some boyfriend out there. We like Steve, but we don't love Steve. She's like, I do. He's like, oh, and there is the second lie you've told me this evening. He walks away. He goes, there's a pull-out couch, pull-out sofa, but if I was you, I'd just cut the bullshit and share the damn bed. So he goes upstairs. They're both in denial. They're like, not denial, but they're just like, what's he know? What's he talking about? And they're separate in their different rooms. Then they come together, and they're just like, hey, I just wanted to just say, you know, good night. And crazy, right? Yeah, what does he know? He's silly. So good night. So they go their separate ways. They close their doors. Jonathan turns out his light. Nancy's in the bed going, like, sitting there, like, getting frustrated, annoyed. She goes back to the door, opens it, and there's Jonathan standing there. And then they go to Kissy Kissy Town, I guess the nicest way to say it. Meanwhile, who else is going to Kissy Kissy Town but He-Man? He-Man, the action figure, is doing kissy kissies with Erica's Barbie doll, maybe, I'm guessing. Jonathan sees it. He's like, what are you doing? Those are my toys. He goes, she says, they're in love. He's like, aren't you a little old for these? He's like, I think she said that. Stay out of my room. She's like, oh, I will. Just tell your little Lucas, your nerdy little friend Lucas to stop bugging me. He's like, what are you talking about? Code red, code red. Lucas is like, oh, God. He grabs the walkie, calls over to Dustin, and he's like, oh, Dustin's like, hey, now you want to talk. Great. He goes, listen, Dark got a lot bigger and he escaped again, and you're going to meet me in the junkyard with Steve. He's like, what? Steve? Steve Harrington? And so Lucas is, you know, like, what? First of all, he finds out that Dart is still out there and Dustin knew where he was all this time, and Steve Harrington is now involved in this. Back at the lab, Owens gives Hopper the green light. They put him in a decontaminant suit, you know, like one of those hazmat suits. It's like, what's this for? He's like, we want to show you something. And they go down. And they show the giant mount, like the monster, and they show all the vines and everything, and like, they said, this giant just cavern. And Owens is like, it's spreading. It's growing like a cancer. And Hopper is like, well, why aren't you burning it? And Owens says, there's a complication. We cut to upstairs in the lab. And Joyce and Bob have a nice little conversation. She's talking about how, you know, this is why I didn't say anything to you. It's just, this is crazy. And I was told not to say anything. I signed all these papers. They're probably going to make you sign papers too. He's like, that's fine. He's like, what kind of papers? Like probably NDAs and all these things. He's like, okay. He goes, I guess you warned me when you said this is not a normal family. She's like, yeah. He says, probably makes the idea of moving to Maine not that crazy. She's like, it's not crazy at all. You can see Bob. He's like, yeah, okay. And, he's like, I can't believe this. Will lost in the woods, right? I thought stuff like this only happened in movies and comic books. He's like, and now it's happening to you. And like, she's like, and you too. He's like, yeah, Bob Newby, superhero. I loved it. Then Will wakes up and Bob's like, I need somebody. Come here, somebody wake up. You know, like we need the doctor here now. And Will, they come in and Will looks at Bob. He's like, oh, no, Bob comes back with Joyce, and she's like, hey, honey, good. And Bob's like, hey, Will, buddy, how you doing? Will's like, who are you? Are you a doctor? So Will does not recognize Bob. We cut back to Murray's, and he's making breakfast for them with just this smirk on his face, because Jonathan and Nancy are sitting there very quiet, and he says, Jonathan, how was the pullout? And Jonathan's like, he's like, the sofa. Oh, yeah. It was fine. Oh, and then he's like, oh, great. And he, like, it was just funny. He had this, I think he spilled some egg. He goes, oops. I forget what it was just, he knew. He knew the whole time. And it was just very funny the way he was treating them. So Nancy calls her mom, checks in, just says, oh, yeah, we did some girl stuff, you know, not much. And she says, she mentioned to Jonathan, oh, Mike had a sleepover with Will. Oh, could you reach them? No, I couldn't reach them. Oh, they probably had a matinee. You know, they went to an early movie. You realize they're off doing their own thing. This is what the world was like before cell phones, everybody. You're off doing your own thing. You have no way to contact anyone, and you have no idea what's going on, unless, of course, you're calling the house number. That's really it. And you're not constantly updated about things, you know, like getting texts about what's going on with Will and where everyone's going on, what everyone else is doing. My phone, I might have mentioned it yesterday, my phone died on me. I went today and got a new phone. I was looking at phone prices and I thought, ooh, I think that's too much. Maybe I should call my wife. I can't. Maybe I should text. I can't. It was like, you forget how much you rely on this thing. I wonder how many of you are listening on your phone right now. That's how I listen to podcasts. And you forget until you don't have it. And then you're like, huh, I guess I'll just go for a dog walk with my dog and my thoughts. I mean, that's boring. Anywho, we jump back to Billy and Max's house, where Billy does basically what you assume all, like, punks, mall rats, whatever you want to call them, did in the 80s. They smoke, drank, and lifted weights. She shows up. I'm sorry, Lucas shows up there, rings the doorbell. Now Rat is playing in the background, the wonderful Rat band. When Max opens the door and sees it's Lucas, she's like, ooh, she's frightened. And she quickly closes the door so he doesn't see him. And he's like, I have proof. She's like, what? I have proof. He's like, come with me. What is the proof? I don't know what it is, but I have it. And she goes in the house. She's like, oh, it was Mormons, just the talkative ones. And Billy's like, what the hell's going on here? He opens the door. I don't know why he's Southern all of a sudden. He opens the door. Nobody's there. Max goes to her room. There's Lucas waiting for her with his bike. She jumps out the window. I know it's a first floor, but I would still be so frightened to jump out a window on the first floor. I'd be like, oh my God, there's a 3-foot drop. She jumps out, jumps on the bike, and they ride off together. She says, this better be good, stalker. Back over at the lab, Owens, they're doing tests on Jonathan, and he's got all these things attached to his head. I feel like this reminds me of The Exorcist 2, something like that. But Will doesn't remember Dr. Owens. He doesn't remember Hopper. He does remember Mike. He's like, that is my friend, Mike. You can see Mike smile like, oh God, thank God he remembers me. Then he talks about, they hurt me. Like who? The soldiers. You shouldn't have done that. It upset him. And, Dr. Owens brings the drawing of the shadow monster over. He's like, is that him? And he nods. Then they go, like, we're going to try something. So they bring over part of like the tentacle vine, whatever you want to call it, the living, you know, thing that was grabbing it, Hopper. They have a piece of it and they take a blowtorch toward it and they get closer to it. And he's like, there's a little sting. And he's like, my chest, it burns. And like, they're like, all right, knock it off. Like they're burning that thing. It's burning Will. So Owens, this is an episode where you heard what he said to Nancy and Jonathan a few episodes ago, but this episode actually makes you like him a little more. One scene specifically. So in this one, he's talking about this being some sort of virus, neurological disorder. That, you know, and the nice thing is viruses can be cured, and we're working on something. We're working on it. Working on learning more and trying to figure out a cure for this. But the viruses are smart, and they're always working, always thinking, always trying to adapt. Don't we know it, world, about viruses? Jesus, just saying that and hearing him say that, I'm like, oh, I guess he's right. But they said the difference thing here is the infected hosts seem to be communicating, which is why you burn one thing and Will feels it. And, you know, Joyce is like, well, what's going to happen if he gets worse? What's going to happen if he can't remember and my boy is gone? Like, she's afraid he's just going to get worse and worse. We cut back over to Dustin and Steve. They're on the railroad tracks. Reminded me of Stand By Me. And they're leaving meat. I think I said that last year when they're on railroad tracks, didn't I? Last season. Anytime I see kids on railroad tracks, I'm going to think of Stand By Me. So they're leaving blobs of meat. Blobs? What the hell? They're leaving pieces of meat, chunks of meat. And Steve, you know, he's like, you kept that slug? He's like, yeah, I want it to impress a girl. He's like, yeah, why? Because it's cool. It's like, okay. He just gives them a little talk about girls, how you got to act like you don't care. You know, this is also the talk of a 17-year-old kid. You know, to Dustin, sounds like he knows it all. But it's still funny because he's just a 17-year-old kid. He doesn't know anything. But he's like, you just got to talk to him like you don't care. Then he gives him hair tips because Dustin said something about how he has great hair. He's like, well, I put the Fabergé conditioner and shampoo. And then he uses the Farrah Fawcett spray. And then Dustin's like, Farrah Fawcett spray? He's like, yeah, hey, it's good. She's hot. And while they're walking on the tracks, we see a flag. So we know that they're walking into where the rot is, where the tunnels are. They're not far from that area. So Hopper took a moment to go outside the lab to his truck, and he's signaling 11 on the walkie on the CB radio, but there's no answer. And he leaves this sad, like, apologetic speech. And it's very sweet, but it's heartbreaking because he thinks maybe she's just stewing and angry and she's not listening, but she's not there. Nobody's listening. You know, she's with her mother and her aunt. And he has no idea where she is. He doesn't even know that he has no idea where she is. That's bad enough. And he just thinks she's being stubborn. He's like, I'm just sorry. I'm just, I feel bad. I'm sorry. He's like, you got to eat those peas, not just egos. And, you know, I'm going to be late and there's a reason and I'm sorry. But again, he's saying this to no one. Inside the lab, the doctors are looking at, the brain scans of Will, like looking at activity from last week, then last night, then an hour ago. And just, there were some orange flashes. Then there were more. Then the last photo, his brain was lit up like a Christmas tree. And one of the doctors is like, you know, we have a bigger problem than this kid. We have to go back to the burn. Oh, do we have a bigger problem? This is Owens saying, and if it kills the kid, the doctor's like, quite frankly, then it kills the kid. This is the moment where Dr. Owens looks at him and says, say that to me again. Trust. That's, I wrote down, trust Dr. Owens, because that's the moment where you realize, oh, you know, he does have Will's, I don't know if it's Will's best interest, but he's not ready to sacrifice a kid for the quote-unquote greater good that this doctor thinks is the burn. And while they're just, you know, talking amongst themselves, Joyce has had enough. She tries to get through the guards and, like, you know, I got to talk to them. I want to hear something. And Will is just staring at his mom and the guards. Like, they show him focusing on the gun and the guy. He's just kind of staring weird. Then he looks over to Mike and he says, "The shadow monster. I think I know how to stop him." It was that stare. Again, it's been a while, so I don't remember everything. But when he did that little stare before all of a sudden turning, I go, I don't trust him. I don't trust you, Will. So we jump back over to the junkyard, and Steve's like, "Yeah, this'll do. This'll do just fine. Go call, dude." Dustin had this big smile on his face. Like, I did good. Steve likes it. At that point, Lucas and Max show up, and Steve says, "Who's that?" And Dustin sees them together and just has this smile, and you just kind of see the look on his face, like, just get sad a little. It's like, oh, I think Steve realizes that's her. He and Dustin have a moment like, "You told her?" "Yeah, I told her. We need as much help as we can get. I haven't heard from Mike or Will or Hopper, anybody, nobody. It's like, we need as much help as we can. We good?" And they're about to shake hands, like, "We're good." And Steve walks up. He's like, hey, dickheads, how come the only one helping me is this random girl? Come on, we only have 40 minutes of light left. And I think Dustin calls him an a-hole. It was just a funny banter of how friends talk to each other. You know, I say all the time, and these guys don't realize, you know, they're becoming very close friends, but I say all the time how I'm very nice. I'm a lot nicer to people I don't know and I'm not friendly with, because I don't know how to act. You know, you try to act nice around people. But the closer I am to you, the more I want to bust your chops and try to keep it clean. The more I want to make fun of you and make other people laugh and just poke fun, and all in good fun. And I take it back, you know, give and take. And it's just to try to make each other laugh. I don't know, something about Steve calling them dickheads and then he calling them an a-hole, it just made me laugh. Like, these are things that I would say to, you know, my group of friends, even, you know, still as a quote unquote grown up. So cut back to Nancy and Jonathan. They got home to the house. The house is empty. They see all the drawings and the map. They see, like, they haven't seen this, but no one else is there. And he finds something on the ground. He's like, this is a Polaroid. I don't shoot Polaroid. Someone else has been here. I think that might be the last time we see Nancy and Jonathan in this episode. So back in the lab, Will is looking at they took all the photos, those Polaroids, and they reconstructed the map. And he points at something. He's like, "That's it." And Dr. Owens is like, "What is it?" He's like, "I don't know. I just know he doesn't want me to see there. It's important." So the soldiers, they show him, start gearing up, getting weapons, all these things. At the same time, we see Dustin, Lucas, and Max and Steve are all setting up for their battle with Dart at the junkyard. It's a nice little montage. So the guy, there's a guy in the lab after they're done showing the setup of the bus in the junkyard. Back at the lab, there's this guy who was there before when the lab, all the instruments were going kooky, and he was bouncing a ball, just kind of standing there babysitting the instruments. He has a drawing of Will's map, and he's like, "All right, let's see if this kid knows what he's talking about." I think he said something a little crueler than that. I forget what it was, but he's guiding the soldiers using Will's map through the tunnels to get them to where Will pointed out. Now the junkyard gang, they board the bus and they wait because it's getting dark. Lucas goes to the top with binoculars, and there's some line where Max says something to Dustin, and Dustin's like, "Why are you even here if you don't believe us? Just go home." You can see Dustin's a little cranky, he's a little upset, and Steve's like, "Nice, show you don't care." He's like, "I don't." And then he gives him a wink. He's like, "Why are you winking?" On the roof of the bus, so Max joins Lucas on the roof of the bus. She called Dustin like a moody, cranky, something like that. And Max tells her some of her story, you know, like how, because he says, "This is cool. It reminds me of the ocean." He's like, what, you know, "Do you miss it? The ocean, California?" She's like, "Well, yeah, I miss my dad being out there. But my stepmom and my stepdad and my mom wanted a fresh start. you know, it's something called divorce, the way she said it to him. And they blame my dad for everything, which is just such bullcrap. But you know, my stepbrother, he's always been a jerk, but now he's just angry all the time. And he can't take it out on my mom, so he takes it out on me, she said. She's like, you know I can be a jerk sometimes, but I don't want to be. And I'm sorry. And then she's like, oh, sorry. And she tears up a little. She's like, oh, what is wrong with me? Lucas is like, oh, you're cool, and you're smart, and you're totally tubular. She's like, yeah, they don't. No one actually says that. He goes, I do. While they're talking, they're like, I like talking with you. I like talking with you too. And then you hear, that's my dart impression. Right, I'm going to do it again. And they're like, he's here. Max is like, you sure that's not a dog? I'm like, huh? But why is he not taking the bait? And Steve's like, maybe he's sick of cow. So Steve throws the letter to Dustin. He's like, you just get ready. And he goes out there with the bat. Crazy. Max is like, what is he doing? Dustin said, he's expanding the menu. And he's out there. Come on, buddy. Like, he's insane. And Dustin says, he's awesome. That's when you know it's solidified. Dustin looks up to Steve like an older brother. Dustin's an only child. And he looks up to Steve like this older brother. And he loves it. He loves hanging out with them. And you can see Steve has some affection towards Dustin already. So he goes out there. And he's got the bat. And there's Dart. We think that's Dart. Coming. And then all of a sudden you see that there's another one, and then there's another one. They're like, get out of there, abort, Steve, 3 o'clock, abort, abort, abort. He gets back to the bus. They start shaking the bus. Did one get on? Cause I feel like I thought I saw the bat coming down. So he must've took one out. Max looks up on the roof of the bus, and there's one just sticking its head down. She screams, and, you know, Steve comes over with the bat, and then all of a sudden it leaves. They all just disappear. You do see a moment of Max and Lucas holding hands for a second. And they're like, what happened? Did you scare them off? He's like, no way. They're going someplace. So we cut back to the lab for kind of the final moments of this episode. They're in the tunnels below, and they have cameras so you can see where they are, and you see the bones, and Hopper's like, oh, that's where I was. It's like a damn graveyard. And they're like, there's nothing here. And then you see Will, and he looks all upset, and he's like, I'm sorry. And you go, oh shit. He's like, what are you talking about? She goes, He made me do it. They shouldn't have upset him. Mike's like, what? Oh my God, the spy. Mike realizes it's a trap. He tries to get to through the guards to yell to tell him it's a trap, to tell, you know, the guys, to tell the guys in the lab, to tell the soldiers it's a trap, but they don't let him through. And all of a sudden, you hear, no, oh, there's a fog coming through. And then you hear, oh, no, oh. And the Demogorgon dogs, they start attacking all the soldiers down there, and they're all dead. Will says to his mother, you should go now. And the reason he's saying that, because they're not done. The dogs, you could see on this little radar, they're leaving the tunnels, and they're coming straight for the lab. He's like, you should go now. They're almost here. Hopper looks through the glass, sees this hole, and then all of a sudden you see a hand grab up, and you see a head pop up. It's the head of the monster, and boom, the end of the episode. That was a wild one, my friends. My goodness gracious, not one moment of 11 in this episode. But fear not, if you miss 11, you're going to get you're going to get your fill of her next time. Next time on The Final Rewatch. But we got a lot of... Mike didn't do much in this one. He smiled and he figured out the spy. The spy wasn't Will spying on the Upside Down and the Shadow Monster. It was Will spying on the lab for the Shadow Monster. Mike figured that out. Our gang, you know, Max, Lucas, Dustin, and Steve, they had a great episode of just... Well, you got to see Erica being sarcastic to Lucas, which was great. Dustin and Steve starting their bromance. Max and Lucas kind of, you know, furthering their relationship, their friendship. It's no relationship. The relationship is a friendship right now, but you could see it's a little more. Billy got to work out, so I'm sure Billy enjoyed that. My dog is at the door now. Luckily, she's a dog. Not a demodog, though she still sometimes grabs my feet and grabs my socks and goes at them in a playful way that I feel like if she was like a D'Artagnan, both my foots would be gone. Oh, yep, she's ready to go out. And yes, I said foots. I know I said foots. She's ready to go out, so I'm ready to call it. Really fun episode. We, you know, Bob figured he knows what's going on now. Yep. I'm coming. You could see that the there's this struggle within the lab of how the doctors disagree with each other or what to do. Trust Sam Owens. That's how I'm feeling. Sam Owens, right? Dr. Owens, trust him. And that's most of everything. They got the Demogorgon dog guys gang on one side, and you realize there's more than one. And they all went back to connect and kill all them soldiers. I'm coming, honey. I'm coming, dear. Coming now. We got the fact. We know that we can't trust Will because the monster can see behind Will's eyes. Oh, man, I almost did that perfectly. And then I said Will instead of Will's. So I'm going to call it. I'm going to say a fun episode, enjoyable. We only got two more. Oh, no, I'm sorry. We got three more in this season. Oh, my goodness gracious. And then we're on to Stranger Things 3. Ooh, it's happening so fast. And then you know what happens after that, right? All right, my friends, listen, my dog really is giving me the evil eye. She really wants to go out. So you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Geek Mentality. The show is on Twitter at StrangerDPod. And every episode is available at fansnotexperts.com/StrangerDanger. So until tomorrow, my friends, thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Stay stranger, my friends. And remember, don't tell Will anything because the monster might be watching.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.